part 6 of the Buzz Bubble interview with George Lois. On the Buzz Bubble.
Our previous guest, Rob Schwartz from Shy Day, executive creative director. We always like to have our previous guests ask our current guest a couple questions.
Okay.
Day. Rob has a couple questions, actually.
I've never had a homosexual experience.
Oh, that was his fourth question.
Except for that one time.
Yeah.
And I didn't enjoy it.
Okay, you don't have to enjoy it.
Okay.
What do you think of Facebook, Twitter, all this social media stuff? Any thoughts on it?
Yeah, I have basic hatred of it, you know. I mean, when my grandson showed me his Facebook thing, I said, we didn't raise you to be an asshole. You know what I mean? I mean, it's so
tweet, I'm drinking a cup of coffee. Oh, I'm taking a crap.
You're involved in yourself. I'm involved in myself all the time, but I'm involved in my work. I'm not involved in how pretty I look. You know, I mean, there's a difference with the Twitter. I mean, I love the language too much, you know.
Yeah, I don't know if 140 characters would work for you.
I mean, you know, when I do emails, and I do maybe I have to do 20 a day for some reason, you know, I get so-called fan mail all the time.
Sure.
I mean, really nice fan, you know, nice things, you know. I take the emails and I handwrite my answer. It could be not just two sentences. It could be three paragraphs. I handwrite it. I give them to my son. And then when he has a chance, when I'm doing something and he has a chance, he'll type them in and he'll print them out and give them to me. And I look at them and I fix them if I have to and correct them. And then I give it to him, and then he prints it out and gives it to me to check again.
Wow, that's some.
I mean, to me, I don't understand getting these emails with bad English, bad spelling.
I apologize in advance for my next email.
No, it drives me crazy. I mean, I look at this guy, say, guys.
Well, part of it is.
Can this guy not spell?
Typing on the iPhone.
Can he really not spell?
You read my emails.
I know. No, I mean, it's almost everybody. It's almost everybody. I don't want
to
get caught. I don't want to ever get caught where somebody sees an email from me and he says, holy shit, look at that.
You're going to put it up on the web. We're going to print it in your next book.
Look at the misspelling or whatever.
Next question from Rob. Any campaigns today that really grabs you by the throat?
Not really. Not really. I mean, I enjoy some of the Geico stuff, you know.
Okay.
I think it's probably a very good advertising job, to tell you the truth.
Yeah.
What was thrilling in the 60s and 70s and some part of the 80s, when I worked next to, you know, three other great art directors, Bob Gage, Helmut Cronin, Bill Talbot, is each guy would do a campaign and you'd say, holy shit, wow.
Oh, great.
When we started PKL and then other agencies came along, like Walter Green, et cetera, you'd go home at night and you'd say, wow, what a great campaign, wow, they nailed it. I mean, that's great fun.
Right.
It's great fun. I mean, and it was great fun not just for me, knowing that somehow I had something to do with.
How about when your idea wasn't picked? It's not so much.
But it was great fun for the audience.
Yeah.
The creative agency only did 1% of the commercials, not even that. But boy, every night there'd be one or two commercials where you'd say,
that's the one. Last one from Rob. What's the best Greek restaurant in New York City?
Well, the only one I go to is Milos, but it's not Greek in the sense that it's basically a fish food place, like the seafood of from Athens, from Piraeus, etc. But it's a terrific restaurant, Milos. But I love Greek food too much to not eat at home, because my wife has learned to make Greek food from my mother and my sisters, mm-hmm. and she's just a master at all food. But so I really have trouble going to even a pretty good Greek restaurant because it ain't home.
Yeah.
You know. Yeah. Okay. So when I go out, things I don't get home. You know, Jean Joy, there's some great restaurants in town.
Getting into MoMA. What was that?
It was exciting. I was going there. I went there three or four times because I was trying to sell the design department with Paolo, a terrific woman by the name of Paolo Antonelli. She's the head of the architecture and design. And there was a Lou Dorsman, who was a great pioneering graphic designer, I told you about, who was at CBS Radio. When BlackRock was going up, you know, the Salmon building, he designed an incredible wall for the cafeteria food words and three-dimensional type. It's just sensational, really 80 foot long. Not too many years later when, I hate him so much, I forget his name. The guy who bought the CBS and almost destroyed it.
Oh, yeah.
He's walking around, and he bought CBS, he's walking around, he sees this incredible wall. He said, I don't like it, take it out. So anyway, wow. The thing was taken out and it was in storage. And we were restoring it, et cetera. And I said, I want the Museum of Modern Art to have that wall. So I was up there trying to convince them to take it, and they loved it, but the place was already built, and the 680 feet was too big, et cetera. So I'm up there trying to convince them. And then finally, they said, we just can't take it, you know?
Oh.
So we got it into the Culinary Institute. But they said, I tell you what we really would like. It was that. So we'd like to have put your Esquire covers into our permanent collections and have a show on it. That sounds good to me.
Okay, that sounds great.
Well, it was astounding, I thought, because I mean, the idea that using graphic design of today, and even 60, the 60s was of today,
right.
Was kind of stunning because, I mean, the only magazine covers that were there before, like the Esquire covers were from the Bauhaus, the Stilge, or you know, pioneering work of shapes and things, you know. So it was a compliment, but she said the only problem. She and a curator by the name of Christian Larson. The only problem is we have to sell it to our acquisitions committee. I said yeah, and she said, and you know they're a little. It could be a little stuffy, and so this is like a kind of a breakthrough, putting it, good luck.
Yeah,
she said, well, I'll let you know. I said, okay, terrific. She calls me up a week later, and she said, well, we got up, and we started to explain, talk, worked around what the idea was, and then finally, I said what it was, George Lois Esquire covers the 60. And you know, there were 12 people there or something like that in the acquisition committee. Eight of them jumped up and said, wow, yeah, oh, I love those covers. I got 20 of them framed in my house. I got this. I know this. Oh, yeah, that's what they're describing covers.
And that was that.
And they're describing covers. Because they were all people who, when I did them, were probably in college.
Right, right.
The covers were gigantic hits in college.
Right.
You couldn't go to a college where you couldn't go to some of the dorm rooms where there weren't Esquire covers up there, all over the place, you know.
So it's a good segue into your book. Can we get a plug-in for your next book?
Yeah,
when can we get it and what's in it?
Yeah,
what can we expect inside?
When they told me they wanted to do the show, and I said, well, let's do it. Can you do it in the... a year so I can do a catalog, and they said no, this is hot, we want to do it right away. So so we did it without a catalog of any kind.
Okay.
The first month of the show, it was April 2008 or something, 2008, yeah, and it lasted a year. And the first month of the show, I got my website is georgelowis.com. I got 1,600,000 hits.
Wow.
And the next month's 800, 700, 600, 500, you know,
right.
You know, I'm still getting, wow. I still get 150,000.
That's great.
And not half of it, but many people said, where can we get a book or a catalog on your covers, you know?
Okay.
So I had done a book 15 years ago. And it's out of print, and I said, well, go to Amazon or Barnes & Noble and look up a book by Monticelli Press called Covering the 60s. When you go to that thing, they're selling copies for $300,000-$400,000 a piece.
Jeez.
So I'm saying, I keep getting requests. So anyway, so Ask Celine is publishing a book, and it's really a fun book because
really?
I found...
So it's not just the pictures. What else are we going to find in there? Stories about
how photographs. Oh, there's things written by me, by Howell Hayes, who was the great editor. Everybody said the balls I had to do it was kind of cool. Oh, wow, it's fantastic. The guy who had the balls was the editor because he had to run them. I mean,
right.
I did them, and I said to, after I did the first cover, that was a gigantic hit, and I basically saved the magazine because they were in big financial trouble. After I said to the editor, who's a great man, Harold Hayes, I said, Harold, I'll keep doing your covers, but I really don't have any time to come here and have group arguments and to have discussions. I mean, the day they're killed, and I know you're not going to kill them. To say somebody, they're killing them. I said, I'm gone, because I don't have the time. I had an ad agency.
Right.
People say to me about, gee, how many years were you at Esquire? I wasn't at Esquire.
Right.
I had my ad agency. I did them on Sundays, you know. and what's great, Hayes would tell me what the issue was going to be about, and I'd get an idea then, or a couple of days later, I'd produce it, and I'd send it to him. That was the way we worked, you know, and he loved it because he saw knew what I was doing, and I was... So the book's going to be terrific because it's got photographs of Hayes and photographs of me at some of the shoots and photographs when we were shooting Muhammad Ali with the hours.
Right, right.
And
that's a great cover.
And you know, it's really fun book.